Today's scripture reading will be from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Again, that's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality.
Welcome to everyone, and I really appreciate the songs that Jared led us in this morning that center on being the family of God. And it just see that in special ways today. We're experiencing it in special ways today as we welcome our brother Lou, who we've just missed so much, and Lucille. Our prayers continue to be with her, but it's wonderful to have our brother here in the assembly today, and having the Spicers and the Beegans here, along with some maybe other former members here as well, but it just reminds us of the connection of family. I know some have folks visiting with them today from out of town. We're just glad. We want to welcome you to our midst, to our family here today. And as we talk a little bit about family and hospitality, I'll never forget the day I was knocking on the door and saying, Hodi, Hodi, which is the way you knock on a door in Kenya. We were at house number 269 in sector 3B of Comarock, right next door to where the church was meeting in the backyard. Someone had visited our assembly the week before from this address, and so we were there to see this gentleman. Dennis and I knocked on the door, and a young woman opened the door, and she said, Karibu, which is welcome, welcome. We said, oh, we're from the church just next door. And she said, oh, welcome, brothers, welcome, welcome. She ushered us into the little sitting room about 10 feet by 12 feet, gestured for us to sit down on the little couch there. We did. She said, just one moment, and she disappeared into the small kitchen. Of course, we knew what was going on there. She was preparing tea, and a few minutes later, another woman came out, a few years older than the first, welcomed us, and went on into the kitchen. Dennis and I sat there and talked in the sitting room. We'd done this many, many times, visiting homes in Comarock, and eventually the two women came out. They brought us our tea, our chai, and some bread and butter, and we sat there and we drank the tea with them. We ate our bread and butter, and we just had general conversations with them for about 10 minutes or so. Eventually, we got around to why we were there. We said, oh, well, we're here from the church next door because we're coming to see Mr. O'Chang. Mr. O'Chang visited Comarock. He was worshiped with us last week. We want to welcome him and invite him to come back. They said, oh, there's no Mr. O'Chang here. Mr. O'Chang is our landlord, and he was in town last Sunday, and I guess he must have gone over there, but he doesn't stay here. He doesn't live here. So there is no Mr. O'Chang. We said, okay, that's fine. How would you ladies like to come and worship with us next Sunday? And next Sunday, the younger of the two, Millicent Moonbay, and her sister-in-law, Josephine Adiambo, were in the assembly. A few weeks later, they were both baptized into Christ. And a few months later, Millicent's brother Bob, Josephine's husband, was baptized into Christ. And I thought about that so very many times, that it was due to their hospitality, welcoming us into their home, though they'd never been to the church. And when we came to the door, can you imagine? We just show up at the door, knock on the door. They welcome us, serve us tea and bread, and then find out why we're there, really. But it was just because of their hospitality. And because of that, the way the gospel came into their lives and the blessing that they were to the church in the years that followed. And it just was one of those wonderful lessons to learn in Kenya, that a guest, even an unexpected guest, even a person who is a stranger to you, is a blessing from God. And when they knock on your door, you open the door and you welcome them in and you give them something to eat. It's just part of the way life was there. And you know, there are still today cultures, many of them Eastern and Oriental cultures, where hospitality is a very high characteristic and trait that's valued very much. I think probably in days past, it was a little bit more so here. I talked to a brother several years ago who told a story about going on vacation when he was a little boy. It was in the late 20s or early 30s, and his father had just bought their first car, a Model T, and you know, there weren't so many to choose from, perhaps, in those days, but they had their Model T. I think it was black, actually. And they were going to go visit some relatives who lived like 200 miles away. Like, how will we ever get there? And he told the story about this trip, and two things have stuck with me. One is he said they had like 15 flat tires in the 200 miles. I thought, no wonder it took you a week, you know, to drive from one farm to another. I thought, 15 flat tires. But the other thing was he said, yeah, at the end of the day, wherever there was a farmhouse, we would just drive up to the farmhouse and knock on the door and say, oh, we're so-and-so family. We're traveling over here to Kansas, and we need a place to spend the night. And I said, he would just spend the night. Yeah, he said, we'd go in. Sometimes we'd have vegetables or things with us. We'd share it with the family. My mom would always help with the preparation of the meal. Kids would jump in and do the chores. But they would always find us a place to spend the night. So my challenge for you after services this evening, I want you to drive over to my cul-de-sac just a couple blocks away from here and start knocking doors and just saying, you know, we're just traveling through town. We're looking for a place to spend the night. Just kind of see how it goes. See how many people welcome you. When you get to our house, we'll welcome you in, but I'd have to admit it's probably because we'll know you. I'm not sure how I would respond to a stranger doing that, but it's just amazing. Today, we want our friends to call before they come. You don't just show up at somebody's house unannounced, even a friend, even a close friend. It's, oh, you always have to call first. That's polite. And you just think of how perhaps things have changed just a bit. And though cultures are different, expectations are different, comfort zones are different, one thing remains true, and that is that the Bible commands us to practice hospitality. Commands us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 13, that was just read to us a moment ago, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And the word there, practice, doesn't just mean kind of, you know, give it a shot every once in a while. It means strive after, be proactive, get out there and make this happen. It's a word of striving for something. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, offer hospitality to one another. And then Peter, doing his normal thing, adds, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So, I mean, what's the use now? We can't even grumble when we offer it, but Peter says without grumbling. And when you look back over the last couple of thousand years, looking back to the first century, You discover from reading church historians and from church fathers of the early days of the church that hospitality was a distinctive mark within the body of Christ. One of the Christians from the first century, Clement, in AD 96, writing from the church in Rome to the church in Corinth, mentions in one of his letters that this church was known, the Corinthian church at that time at least, was known for its magnificent hospitality, in the way they opened their homes and welcomed brothers and welcomed travelers into their homes to stay with them. And when you look back and look at part of the reasons for the rapid growth of the Christian faith in the first two, three centuries of its existence, a lot of it has to do with hospitality, not just inviting friends into your home. Hospitality reaches beyond that, but the church was doing other things like reaching out to the sick people and building places that became called hospitals, where they would take care of sick people that nobody else would touch, and the church was at the forefront of that kind of activity. And hospitality played a very important role in the early church. What is it? I wish I would have known Jared was going to define it, because he hit it perfectly. I've got this like paragraph of what hospitality is. He just said where love and action meet. I mean, that's pretty much so after I get done, it's written here, I have to tell you, but that'll work. The word literally means, the Greek word in our New Testaments is love of strangers, to have a love or a concern or a care for strangers. And it plays out on different levels in the New Testament, in the books of the New Testament. And I suppose the primary level, it begins with the love and the sharing within the family of God. To share our lives, our homes, our resources, our money, our time with one another, accepting, welcoming, serving. It's an attitude of the heart that reaches out to others. But we also see in the New Testament that it reaches down to the deeper level of caring for other people, widows and orphans especially, we read about in the early days of the church. Caring and providing for Christians who are traveling through and helping to provide for the needs, both lodging and food for preachers who would travel through from church to church in the early centuries. We even have a letter we'll look at maybe next week, 3 John. The letter really is about showing hospitality to such people. And it's just, it's great today to have Tom and Jeannie here talking to us about the City of Children, because even though that's not our house and our home, there is a sense in which through the love of this congregation and so many people around the nation and the sharing of resources and time, that is in a sense a work of hospitality. It is welcoming those and accepting those who need to be welcomed, who need to be served and loved in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's a radical kind of hospitality that we read about as well. And that's the same kind of attitude, that same kind of welcoming and sharing attitude. The sharing of our resources and our homes and our time with the sick, with the poor, with the marginalized people of our world, with the stranger, with those who are in spiritual need, the opening up of our lives and our hearts. I think if you put all that together, hospitality is an attitude. It's a matter of the heart that issues forth in a way of life or action. It's something that is enabled and powered by God, who has welcomed us. And in hospitality, we are called to put the needs of other people before our own needs and to serve them. Hospitality, as we read in the New Testament, is especially demonstrated in the sharing with others of our homes, our time, our personal space, our privacy, our resources. Without communicating a need for performance, there's nothing that has to be done to receive this. This isn't about having them do something for you, and it's given without any expectation of anything in return. That's the practice of hospitality. And that's why when we read about hospitality in the New Testament, it's no surprise to find that it's rooted in the teaching of brotherly love and the kind of love we've been singing about today. When you go back to all the passages that I just mentioned a few moments ago, the context of every passage in the New Testament about hospitality is the context of brotherly love. In Romans chapter 12, we looked at verse 13 about practice hospitality, but that brief paragraph begins with the words, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then we're to practice hospitality. In Hebrews 13, where we are told not to forget to show hospitality to strangers, the first verse, the verse just before that says, keep on loving each other as brothers. It's in the context of brotherly love. It's in the context of family that hospitality is commanded. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, in verse 9 where Peter says to show hospitality to one another without grumbling, the verse just before that is, above all, love each other deeply. So that hospitality has to do with brotherly love, with the family of God. You know, there are a lot of metaphors in the New Testament for the church, but the metaphor that is used more than any other is the metaphor of the family. Every time you hear of somebody referred to as a brother or a sister, the household of faith, the family of God, God is Father, Jesus is brother. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, we're told in the book of Hebrews. This is the most dominant metaphor in the New Testament for the church, and the reason is probably because of what family stands for, what good family stands for. It's about intimacy, it's about love, it's about caring for one another. And in the church, our life together as family derives itself from Jesus Christ, who's reconciled us to the Father through his blood, making us family, sending the Spirit of God to dwell within us, making us family. We are brothers and sisters. We're connected. And in the first century, when you read in the scriptures, they greeted one another with a holy kiss. They shared their possessions with any who had need. They met in homes to worship God. They ate together from house to house. They cared for their widows and their orphans. They showed hospitality. All of that is tied in to the way they saw themselves as this unique family. Because the first century church, like the church throughout the centuries, it's a diverse group of folks who come from a variety of backgrounds. And in the church, from the very beginning, people began to see themselves as belonging to some unique family, some unique collection of people that transcends all of the boundaries that normally divide people, like ethnicity or nationhood or citizenship or gender or social boundaries or racial boundaries or economic boundaries. It was the family of God. And people belonged in the family. People were welcomed into the family of God by a God who welcomes us and by brothers and sisters who welcome one another. I think of John writing in 1 John 3 with a sense of just almost amazement when he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." We're the children of God. We're the family of God. It's in that family, it's in that relationship that hospitality takes root. And you go back to the writings of 1 Peter, Peter mentioning this showing of hospitality. If you're familiar at all with the first letter of Peter, you know it's written to a group of people that he refers to as strangers and exiles and aliens in the world. And this little group of Christians that he's writing to, they're starting to be ostracized, and the persecution is beginning where they are living. And the world is turning hostile against them. But they are the family of God. The church is this haven where people come and belong with one another. And hospitality becomes a significant practical expression of what it means to be in that family. So hospitality in the scriptures is rooted in the brotherly love that we share as a family, and also profoundly in the nature of God. If you've been reading through your Old Testament in our daily Bible reading, I know a lot of folks here, well, a lot of us are reading through, how often does God talk about his love for the poor, the orphan, the widow, the stranger, the alien? And how often does he command Israel, as his representative people, to show love and hospitality and acceptance and openness and welcoming to those people? How often do the prophets judge Israel because they fail in that capacity? And that's how it is within the church. We were outsiders. We were aliens. We were strangers to God because of sin. But through Jesus Christ, we have been welcomed. That song before the Lord's Supper about the Lord being the host of the meal. We come as family, coming around the table as family. We have been welcomed. And God says, that's how you need to look to other people. Imitate. Imitate the way I've treated you. Demonstrate hospitality. And that caught the world by surprise in the first century. I think it would probably still catch the world by surprise. It seemed to really be part of the fuel of evangelism in the first century, because the church not only demonstrated this kind of love and acceptance and welcoming among their own people, but upon those who were outside who were in need. And that had a profound effect. That's what Jesus, I think, was getting at in John 13, verse 34, when he said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And we see, as that love was being expressed long ago, it had a powerful effect. And it still does. It's not just something from the first century, this love and sense of hospitality. It's not just a cultural matter. It's not just a practical matter. It is based on the brotherly love within the family of God and with God as Father, who has welcomed all of us. It's rooted in in our faith. It's rooted in who we are as a people. And like our brothers and sisters long ago, when we share that kind of sacrificial love, that kind of accepting and welcoming love with others, we then become credible as we reach out to the people of the world. But it has to start even within our own midst. What a powerful witness that is to Jesus Christ, who ties the family together. So let me suggest something. Let's make an effort as a family to really give attention to the practicing of hospitality, starting at least right now in our minds and then in our actions, starting with our own family here. Now, there are a lot of great examples in this congregation of people who open their homes and people who invite people in and people who have that spirit of hospitality, and so many of us are blessed by them continually. And let me also say, it is true that we're called to do so much more than to reach out to one another. Next week, Lord willing, we'll speak about Jesus's challenge, not just to invite folks over to your house that are your good friends or your close relatives or the folks that might make you look good in society because they showed up, or maybe they can have the dinner party next week and you get a payback from them. Jesus says, no, that's not the nature. It's fine to go to a friend's house. You can still go out to eat with your friends or have them in. But Jesus says, what we're talking about in the kingdom goes much further than that, and we'll come to that. But you know, in a practical sense, if I'm not showing hospitality and showing that kind of openness within the family of God, it's highly unlikely that I'm going to be demonstrating that with people who are outside my comfort zone or outside that family. So let me just encourage us to do whatever we can to practice hospitality, to open our homes, to have people into our homes, to share our time, our resources, our privacy, to share that time, to have someone in for a cup of coffee or a piece of cake and just to talk, just to be together, have a singing in our house. We'll just bring a bunch of folks over just to sing and praise the Lord together, but to do it in our homes, to spend time together in our homes, or share a meal, having somebody over into our home to have a meal together. There's so many things. You can invite folks over just to play games on a Friday night, or to have some family over, and if you have, you know, if you have special things for recreation that the kids would enjoy, open up your home to others. Let them use it. Let them, if you have a swimming pool, let kids come over and swim in your pool. Just open up your home as much as possible to make it a place where the family knows it's welcome. How much we learn in those times. How much we learn at the table, sitting around a table with one another, sharing a meal, having a time together. We wish Bill a safe trip home. God bless you. Good to have. Bill's got to catch a flight. Mike is not angry about the sermon on hospitality, I don't think. So, boy, just want to explain that. Now, that's Bill's a lifelong friend. Bill and Mike have been friends for like 40 years, and he's got a flight to catch home today. So we're just glad to have him for the little bit of time that we did. But I think you think back to any time you've sat at a table with somebody and what you learn and what you gain. I'm not talking about just information, you know, gathering your little dossier on somebody or whatever their experience is, but the relationship that deepens, the way you get to know somebody and where they're from and who they really are and what's going on in their life and what they struggle with and what brings them joy and just where they are in their walk of faith with God. That's when we have those opportunities to get to know one another and to be able to truly minister to each other. I know that what I'm talking about today is, especially when it comes to opening our homes, for some people that's going to be there are some unique situations. There's some people who may not be living in their own homes. There may that sort of situation happens, and it may be difficult for you because of some very unique situation in your life where that's a difficulty. I would encourage us all, if that be the case, to be creative, to find somebody you can partner with, or to invite someone to another home and be a part of that whole process, or to host a picnic at a park, or meet around one of the fire pits in the summertime down at the beach, and you know, and roast marshmallows and just and be together and talk. But find as much any way that you can creatively to bring people together. You know, we can even go to a restaurant. House is always better, but boy, you know, we can spend time there. A lot of us have spent a lot of hours. You know, sometimes it's amazing how spending 2 or 3 hours in a restaurant when you get going in conversation. And if you stay long enough, your waitress leaves. You don't have to leave a tip. So that's no. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding, just trying to wake you up. I read a story this last week about a couple who'd moved to a new congregation and they just weren't feeling like they were fitting in. And a person from their old congregation, where they had felt so much at home, came to visit them and they were kind of complaining and said, you know, we just don't really have any friends. And this person was an older gentleman. He said, let me give you this challenge. In the coming year, invite every member of the church into your home. Give that a try. They said they would. A year later, not only did they have some very incredible friendships, but they had stirred up the spirit of hospitality in that church in such a way that renewed and revived the fellowship of the body of Christ as others began to reach out and to welcome and to open up their homes. And that's a challenge, personally, I want to accept. I want to accept the challenge of trying to be with as many brothers and sisters as possible in the course of the coming months, of just being together, spending some time together. You know, as a family, we're called to love one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to build each other up, to confess our sins one to another. We're called to do all of these things for one another, and we cannot obey these commands through relationships that are limited to 75 minutes in a group setting on a Sunday morning. That's not what the assembly was meant to accomplish on that personal level. It requires something more intimate. It requires that time together. That's what is so essential. And hospitality, it fleshes out our love in a personal and sacrificial way. It's so much involves you completely, because you're sharing your home, your family, your food, your finances, your space, your privacy, your time. Hospitality is the sharing of life. And that's why it's so powerful to result in friendship and acceptance and refreshment and comfort and spiritual growth and discipleship through welcoming, through belonging to one another. I read this week in a book on hospitality, this line: unless we open the doors of our homes and the doors of our lives to one another, the reality of brotherly love is only a theory. It's only a theory. It's just a teaching in a book. It's a teaching in the scriptures. But until we practice hospitality, it's a theory, and your home can be the perfect place to start. I want to just encourage us, whatever our resources, whatever our own personal situation, wherever, you know, what that differs from person to person, from family to single to elderly to younger. It's very, very, very different. But to find for the ways that you can be a more welcoming, open person just within, starting within the body of Christ. Then, as we do that, I think we're better prepared to take on the greater mission that we have to those around us. I think once we start there, we'll see that continue. And people that are now hospitable within the body are also hospitable to those that are outside. I went in today with a story that I've told before probably any, I don't know how many times. Ellen's told it to the ladies' Bible class probably several times. But it is, in my life, the defining story on hospitality, because it was such a life-changing moment for us. It was 1980, 1981. We were members in the family at Petaluma Church there. Sunday morning after church, Aaron Parrish came up to me. Aaron and Erlene lived right around the corner from the church building at the time. They had six kids, had a very limited income. Aaron and I were talking. He says, "Hey, what are you doing for lunch?" I said, "Oh, I don't think we're doing anything." Of course, we had a family of six, I guess, ourselves at the time. So we weren't going out to eat in those days, that's for sure. And he says, "Why don't you come on over to the house? Come on over for lunch." I said, "Well, you think you need to check with Erlene?" "Oh, no, no, no. Don't need to check with Erlene. That's his wife. You know, no, just come on over. There's always room. There's always room." Okay, well, there's 12, six of them, six of us, you know. I mean, that's a pretty good-sized group. And we walked around the corner of the church building, and their little house was packed. I don't know, there must have been 25, 30 people there, just crammed in their little house. And Erlene's standing in the kitchen over this big pot of soup. And said, "Oh, hey, Richard, welcome." And it's like she had no idea we were coming. And she's just stirring the soup, everybody having a great time together. And then it came time to serve the food. And this is the part that, you know, kind of caught us off guard. Because, you see, they didn't have a lot. And they opened up the cupboard, and what they had in their cupboard was a big stack of butter dishes. You know, those plastic kind that your margarine comes in. They didn't have dishes. They didn't have dishes for 30 people. They probably didn't have dishes for 8 people. And they pulled out a big stack of all different colors and sizes of butter dishes. And Erlene ladled out that soup, and we had some kind of French bread. And we sat all around that house and shared that meal together and shared an afternoon together. Nobody was leaving anytime soon. And I remember not only the blessing of that day, but the conviction of the experience. Because for us at that time, we didn't have very much. We didn't have anything fine. We couldn't, you know, set the table like so many people could. But here was a family, it was just like, "Hey, come on over, let's eat together, let's spend some time together, who cares what the wasn't about." And that it struck me, the difference between entertaining and showing hospitality. And there may be some overlap, but so often with entertaining, it's about, is my house perfect? Is the lawn manicured? Am I a clever decorator? Do I have a set of dishes that match? Well, should I use the china or the everyday? Decorating is about, sometimes you become almost more self-centered about it. And I'm saying that in a general way. And sometimes when we think of entertaining, but hospitality focuses on the person that's coming, on showing them love, on showing them acceptance, on welcoming them, on letting them know that you care about them, on making a place for them. It doesn't have to do with performance. It doesn't have to do with how much money you have, how grand a spread you can put on your table. It has nothing to do with that. And that's a day I know for Ellen and I that we'll never forget. We'll never forget Aaron and Erlene and the love of God and the love of family that they had within their hearts. They thought nothing of what they had done. And I like butter dishes a lot more now than I ever did before. Let's, if you're willing to, I want to focus more attention on others, on serving, on opening, on welcoming, starting even with our own family, to seek to bless. And we can all do this because, as we've mentioned earlier, we've been welcomed. We've been welcomed by a God who had no reason to welcome us. And in fact, provided for our own cleansing so that he could welcome us. The cleansing was the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We've turned from our sins. We have been united with our elder brother, Jesus, in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, in our baptism, and by faith have been raised up to a new life filled with the Spirit of God. We have been welcomed to the family table We sit every week at the family meal, and the Lord Jesus Christ serves us. Who better is equipped to welcome others than we who have been so graciously welcomed? And if you've never received the welcome of the Father through the blood of Christ, we invite you to come to Him, to come into the family through faith in Him, through the cleansing He provides, to come to know the acceptance of God, the most important welcome that you can ever receive. And may you and I, as brothers and sisters, do as the scriptures say in Romans 12, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Let's stand as we sing.